Question 70. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Luke 14:3, and Jesus, answering, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? For the most part, the keeping of the Sabbath day is the forsaken commandment. Like no other point of the Decalogue, the fourth has been misunderstood, misapplied, or ignored by men, or changed, repealed, erased, or revoked by religion, but in relatively few hearts has it held a place of immutability and importance as was intended. Until one decides to keep the Sabbath and defend its honored place in the life of a Christian, one cannot fully comprehend this chasm between the two theologies, the division that Sabbath keeping creates between fellow Christians, friends, and family, is more than a theological one. There's not a monolithic understanding in the community of Sabbath keepers either. Even among those who consider it to be an important factor, it has undergone many interpretations and methods of compliance. Some take their cues from the Jews and attempt to mimic their Sabbath observance, and some make their own rules. How one complies, whether one complies, are matters of endless debate, and this has been the case for centuries. Scholars give us information about the scriptures that we use to interpret them. We apply our understanding of customs and manners of the day, the chronological timetables, and the context of scripture so that we can interpret the commandments accurately. We find out who wrote it, when it was written, and to whom it was written. From that information, we decide whether or not it applies to us and how or if we should keep it. Most of the time, we find ourselves in trouble when we decide that we know why a commandment was written. Because if we think we know why, we can deceive ourselves into complying some other way, usually easier. We egotistically determine that we know why God said to remember the Sabbath day, and we decide to give him what we think he wants some other way than what he specifically said to do or not to do. The argument is a familiar one. It's much like the one we make when we roll through a stop sign when we see no one else in an intersection. We think we know why the law was written, so we determine that there's no real need to come to a complete stop. Although the law does not mention the presence of other cars in the intersection, or the pressing appointment to which we are rushing, or the pressing schedule of the driver, we factor all that into the equation because we think we know why the law was written. We even deceive ourselves into believing that by doing so, we're obeying the spirit of the law. Note, one can receive a citation for obeying the spirit of the law in that way. I submit that we do not know as much as we think we do. As a stupid, selfish man, unable to plumb the depths of my own depravity, and with an unfathomably desperate and wicked heart, I have determined not to know anything. I've decided to blindly and humbly follow the revealed will and words of God, as if I am stupid and unlearned, unsophisticated and uneducated, as if God himself wrote exactly what he wrote and gave it to me to read and obey. I'm willing to believe that God wrote what he meant to write in the stone tablet that day on Mount Sinai. Some declare that since Christ has come, things have changed. It's true that many things have been fulfilled in Christ, and many things have been revealed that were kept secret since the foundation of the world. Among the things that have changed is the physical location of the written law. The words of God were written in tablets of stone. Later, they were in scrolls and books, and are now to be found written in the hearts of all who obey the gospel. Who among us who truly know Christ, does not also know that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. John said that if we do not love our brother while saying we love God, we are liars. Why does he say that? Because, quote, this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God is to love his brother also, end quote. Try as you might, you will not find that written anywhere in the commandments. Where is that written? It is written in the heart of all who know him. With these commandments written in our minds and hearts, we also are keenly aware when we violate them. Our conscience tells us when we're living in accordance with God's will, and therefore we are never to violate this internal guide. We grieve this Holy Spirit both when we lay undue burdens upon ourselves to stay within the bounds of the law, or live in liberality, violating it. We must find and maintain the balance that holds us in a life of obedience and doesn't hinder us and show our lives as burdens to the world. The perfect law of liberty in Christ Jesus will make us free from the law of sin and death. There is a place in Christ where we well know exactly what's expected of us, exactly what we are to do to make our lives pleasing to our Father, to give us a rich and balanced life for which no apology to the world is necessary. Our lives lived in this perfect law of liberty leave us without a sense of guilt, nor have we a fear of unknowingly displeasing God. There is a place in Christ where we can walk in full assurance of our faith, never violating any commandment, never wondering if an action is lawful or not, and never displeasing Christ. This is a place of understanding that is available to the unregenerate one. It's a place foreign to those who look to books and regulations and education, knowledge, tradition, and religion. It's only found through communion with Jesus Christ. Jesus saw that religious men had no understanding of why. They were befuddled that Jesus could walk through a field picking and eating grain on the Sabbath and have a clear conscience. They were amazed that he could do what he did and say what he said, live in the way he lived, and still believe that he was in compliance with the law. This is the way we should appear to the religious as well. We too have this ability to know as Christ did, as David did. We can know within ourselves how to fully comply with God's will through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When he approached the Pharisees this day, Jesus was asking much more than what it appears. He was asking them this question to see what understanding they had. He wanted to know how much they knew about the nature of God, the depth and purpose of the law, and he wanted to reveal this lack to them as well. We do well to quiz ourselves in the same manner. If we're legalistic and pedantic, it'll show up when we ask ourselves the question Jesus asked them. To the Pharisee, there was no middle ground. There was nothing to be done on the Sabbath, nothing. Their eyes had closed to God's purposes, and their understanding had replaced God's intention. Jesus knew that they did not have what it took to answer the question. It must have saddened him when they stood silent, with eyes darting back and forth, searching for an answer that allowed both the laws that they had made in God's name and the goodness and miracle of healing that could only be attributed to God. They stood knee-deep in the mud of their own religion and were dumbfounded and silent when he asked, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?"